Welcome to our service for the 3rd of May 2020, the fourth week of Easter. And today we continue our look at the foundations of our Christian faith, asking the question, why did Jesus die? Later on, Peter Hall, one of our family from our 9:30 congregation at St Nicholas, will reflect upon that. And later on in the week as well, you're welcome to join us Wednesday night for the discussion group based around the question, why did Jesus die? Just send me an email or phone me to find out how to get part of that. But before we begin today, just a few pieces of information for you. Normally today, the first week of May, we would be doing our messy church at St Nicholas. But fear not, we still have messy church for you. Messy Moses, indeed, as we look at our hero Moses from the Bible. And on the website and our Facebook page, you'll find information about how you can do messy church at home as we look at messy Moses. Also, as well, for our young people, for our youth, Freya, our youth worker, each week is putting up a session for you, which again you can access from our website. But of course, the big news of the week is that this Thursday is the Bedhampton Big Quiz. Maybe you've not heard about this yet, but on Thursday night, we will be holding a quiz. So gather your team together, whether you are under the one roof at home or whether you're going to message each other across the country on the night. Because on Thursday night at 7:30, Bedhampton Big Quiz is on. All for the pride of being the Bedhampton Big Quiz winners for the lockdown of 2020. Again, if you're not sure how to join in that, go to the website and you can find out how you can join in with the Bedhampton Big Quiz. We look forward to seeing you on Thursday night. But of course, the real reason that we're here today is actually to put some time aside, even in this lockdown, to worship our God, to come before Him and acknowledge that He is King of our lives. So before we do that, let's take a moment to invite His Spirit, wherever you are, whatever time you're doing this, to be with you. Be quiet and then out loud invite Him to be with us as we begin our service together. Holy Spirit, we know that You are always with us. Wherever we are, whatever time it is, You are there. And as we gather, we pray that You would guide us, that You would nudge us, that You would inspire us to worship You, the one true God. Amen. And grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And also with you. I'm going to pray the collect for the week now, the special prayer for Sunday. But before I do, I'd like to take a moment of being quiet once more, because there is much that we are to be thankful for in our lives. And this gives you an opportunity just to be quiet and say a short prayer of thanks before I pray the collect. Risen Christ, faithful shepherd of your Father's sheep, teach us to hear your voice and to follow your command, that all your people may be gathered into one flock, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Mike and Polly are now going to lead us in one of our favourite songs that they do.
made them his very own. He bore the burden of Calvary and suffered and died alone, singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. When we
thank you for that, Mike and Polly. And now Susie is going to bring us our first reading. The reading is taken from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11.
Ananias and Sapphira. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to humans, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
Thank you, Susie. You know, as we head towards listening to Peter reflect on that question, why did Jesus die? I wonder where you are right now with God in this lockdown. I wonder how you feel. Maybe you feel helpless. I was reminded this week by one of my friends on the web of a prayer that sits on my office wall. It's a prayer I've read to you before. It's a prayer by a chap called Thomas Merton. And it's a real prayer about how sometimes we can feel helpless, but nevertheless, God is with us. As we prepare our hearts to listen to Peter and to hear what God might say through him to us today, I thought it'd be good to pray this prayer together. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. and I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right path, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. Peter Hirsch is going to bring us our second reading now before we hear from Peter Hall.
The reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11, verses 45 to 53. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life.
Hello there, and welcome to my study. Today, we're thinking about why Jesus had to die. I think a much simpler question might be, why did Jesus live? Well, he lived so that human beings could come into a relationship with God. Ever since human beings first rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, God wanted to restore that relationship. He raised up people over the centuries who came to tell people that they needed to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to God. Time and time again, they either ignored the prophets or they had a relationship with God, but then soon fell back into their old ways. And so God wanted to end that cycle and to come to earth himself. The Word, that's Jesus, we read in the Bible, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus lived. But why did Jesus have to die? Wouldn't a powerful preaching and healing ministry have been enough? Well, no. And at the heart of why it wasn't enough lies in the very nature of God himself. As you probably know, my job in the diocese is as Director of Vocations and Ordinands. Posh title, eh? It just means that I spend a lot of time helping people to discover God's plan and his purpose for them, their vocation. And when I meet new candidates, we chat for a while and I usually pose them a question. I say, "Would you end this sentence for me?" And I begin, "God is," and then ask them to end the phrase. How would you end it? Well, why don't you pause the video for just a second and have a think. God is. And if there's someone else with you in the room, why don't you swap answers? So let's pause and let's think. I'll be back. I wonder how you did. Well, the answer most people give me is God is love. Very biblical. Other people might say things like God is everlasting or God is powerful. But the thing I rarely hear is God is holy. But that's the very key to why Jesus came to die. God is holy, but we human beings are not. In fact, we're anything but. We are flawed. We are sinful. That's not a very popular phrase these days, is it? Sinful, but it's true nonetheless. And the thing is that holiness and sinfulness simply do not mix. They cannot occupy the same space as one another. I wonder if you know the Old Testament story of Moses asking to see God face to face. You can find it in Exodus chapter 33. Moses says to God, "I want to see your glory." In other words, I want to know you fully. I want to be in communion with you. But God knows that that's simply not possible. So he hides Moses in the cleft of a rock as he passes by. The only thing that Moses is allowed to see is God's back, if you like, a shadow of who God is. It's a powerful image. Holiness and sinfulness cannot occupy the same space. Now, the people of God wanted to remedy that situation. They wanted an end to the grip that sin had on their lives. They wanted to live in harmony with God and with each other. Once a year, they held a special festival. Jews today call that festival Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And it is, to this day, their most important festival. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 16. What happened was that as a symbolic removal of people's sins, the high priest would take two goats. One of the goats would be sacrificed in the temple and its blood taken into the Holy of Holies. And then the high priest would lay his hands upon the second goat, confessing the sins and the rebellion and the wickedness of all the Israelites. In a sense, that goat took on the sin of Israel, and it was sent out into the wilderness to die. And then the sins were forgiven for another year. That second animal was called a scapegoat. You know that word. We use it today. It means taking the blame for others. The scapegoat. I wonder if you're making any connections with the two readings that we heard earlier. You see, these sort of sacrifices, these days of atonement, went on for generation upon generation. But nothing changed, and a permanent solution was needed to the problem of sin. A mighty, powerful scapegoat was needed to put an end to the grip of sin forever. A once and for all day of atonement was needed, and God himself had a plan. We call that once and for all day of atonement Good Friday. Let me remind you of some of the words from our readings. Caiaphas, who was high priest, spoke up. He said, "You do not realise that it is better that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was both high priest, he was also the scapegoat. He took upon himself the sin and the blame of others. I once saw it really helpfully portrayed like this. Imagine that my hand here represents human beings. There's nothing between ourselves and God. That was what it was like in the Garden of Eden at the beginning. But let this book represent all the sins, all the faults, all the selfishness of the world. Suddenly, there's a barrier between us and God. And days of atonement just don't do it. And yet here is Jesus. Jesus was sinless. And Jesus took upon himself all of the sins of the world. And as Jesus hung on the cross, being the scapegoat, having the sins of the world upon him, he felt abandoned and cut off from God. Because holiness and sinfulness do not mix. And in his agony, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But the result of Jesus hanging on the cross and having our sins means that you and I are able to have communion with God, to know him fully, to converse with him forever. That was Jesus' mission. That was why Jesus came to die. I could go on for ages. I did courses in this at college, but we simply don't have time. But there's a great film on our website. Have a look at it. And maybe you'd like to continue the discussion. And if you would, get in touch with Max and meet up this Wednesday.
Well, it looks as though Peter and I are in competition for shirts today, doesn't it? But I can assure you that we're not. But I want to thank Peter for a great reflection on that question, why did Jesus die? I wonder what your answers were to Peter's question, God is. Wonder what the blank you put after that was. I'd love to hear about some of those if you feel you wanted to share them. As Peter said, there's a follow-on video on the website to reflect in more depth about the question, why did Jesus die? And again, you can join us on Wednesday night for the discussion group. Just send me a message either by email or phone, and I'll make sure that you're part of that. I thought it was particularly helpful to hear from Peter about how the fact that we can come before our God and confess our sins and our mistakes, that Jesus died so that we might be forgiven. And so we're going to take some time to do that now, having heard from Peter. And we'll reflect with our God the areas of our lives where we perhaps feel that we have let him down, where we perhaps have fallen short of that holiness that Peter spoke of. We'll have some time of quiet in a moment to do that. But for now, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let's reflect on the last few weeks of our lives and bring before a God who's keen to forgive us the areas where we wish to be forgiven. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say these words together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen in us all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Fleur is going to bring us our prayers for this week.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you with open arms and we humbly submit our lives to your true and perfect purpose. You are our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and end. We thank you for the reminder that Jesus gave his life up for us and asked us to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. what we knew has been lost to us. But you are the same, and your calling is constant. You ask us to give up our lives, to bury our own earthly desires, and to serve you by serving others. Thank you that we have a new opportunity to realise how you want us to serve you in this time. I personally thank you for reminding me of your perfect sacrifice and helping me to realise you require the whole of me, not just the parts I am willing to give. I have been serving you in my way, not in the way that you have asked me to. Forgive me. Let us pause for a time for each one of us to ask forgiveness for the things that God has placed on our hearts. O Lord, we have so much to praise you for and so much to cry out and lament of. When will this time end? When will your face shine upon us again? But you have been shining, Lord. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for our community. Thank you for Max, Susie and the whole Cross family for how they have carried us in this time. Thank you to Vanda and Polly for their words. Thank you for all the people who continue to serve us in the face of such danger. Let us take a minute to think of one person we have come into contact with who continues to serve their community in this time. And let us thank the Lord for them. I thank you, Lord, for the lady working in our local co-op who gave me such a smile as I left and told me to stay safe. She really meant it and it touched me. Lord, I pray for those who are grieving. I pray for those who have lost loved ones, for the widow and widower. I pray they receive comfort and peace. I pray you give us words to impart. And I thank you for how your Holy Spirit prompts us to reach out. Your Holy Spirit, who is our comforter as well. Thank you for your comfort. May it be powerfully felt in these times. Father, I pray for your church, your bride. Help us to be who you want us to be. Help us to move away from fear and to respond to your calling. We pray revival on our church and in our lives. Let us not settle. Let us never think we are good enough. Stir up and sustain in us your light. Send your power, O Lord, our God. Accept these prayers in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And we bring those prayers and indeed all our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we now sing our last song together. We have a gospel.
We
Don't forget that on our website you have access to that communion service if you want to take communion with your God this week, and share that at home. And do let me know, as I said before, if you want to be part of that Wednesday night discussion group, just give me an email or a phone call. And of course, don't forget the Bedhampton Big Quiz this Thursday. I hope and pray that you are all well. Susie and I send our love to you. Thank you so much for all the encouragements that you've been sending to us and the prayers that you've been holding us in. We continue to hold you in prayer as well. But as we finish, let me pray for you. Our merciful Father gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our good shepherd, and in his love lay down his life and rise again for us. May he keep us always under his protection and give us grace to follow in his steps. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Have a great week.